Who remembers Hancock with Will Smith? What do you mean, nobody? Literally nobody remembers this film? I mean, I guess that makes sense having watched it. And yet, it was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, my name's Sean Collier. This is the number one movie in America, and I'm here with a couple of Florida hippies. No, nobody wants to be that.
hang on a second. Speak for yourself.
I'm here with Ben Stiller's illegitimate children. It's Robin.
Hi.
And Camila Adams.
Hello.
Ordinarily, this is where we would make some further comment on the Fockers having reflected on last week's film, but, you know, I got nothing to add.
Same.
Oh, Robin, you had a point. You had a point about cultural Yuletide traditions.
Yeah, I realized, like, right after we finished recording, thinking about why this was such a successful Christmas release, I was like, oh, Jews go to the movies on Christmas. And so, obviously, all the Jews of a certain age are going to be like, Barbara has a new movie.
Right, exactly. Babs. Let's go hang out with Babs.
If they could have somehow worked the Asian market in as well, all rep could have been broken. All of the moving December 25th demographics.
I mean, when they get the foreskin in the fondue and he says, who feels like Chinese? And all of the Jews in the movie theater went, us, we do.
Man, I don't know. You know, I have done it. It's one of the great innovations at Row House Cinema here in Pittsburgh is if you go on Christmas, they'll just bring Chinese food to your seat. Like, you fill out a little before the movie, and then they go to the Chinese place down the street and bring it to you in the middle of the film.
Oh, that's excellent.
That is excellent. Maybe I'll go there next year. Or this year.
Yeah, hopefully.
By December.
I know, right? Yeah, we did that for the first time on purpose this past Christmas. Just like, I was like, I'm not cooking. Can we just order Chinese?
It's the best.
No, I was that was my jam. We did it 1 year by accident. Like, we went traveling during Christmas, and I think we came back to Pittsburgh on Christmas Day, and we're like, there's nothing open. This is unfamiliar territory. We have no groceries.
It was Dan like, let me tell you something about my people.
Right, exactly. This is what we do. Now it's my time to shine, lady.
Well, as you can see by this discussion, there's only so much to say about Meet the Fockers, which we scored 53 2/3. That is good for 50th overall and even 50th place on our chart, sandwiched right in between Breakin' and 10. 7 is still in 7th. And we move on. Hancock, a movie that there may be even less to say about. I don't know. I mean, this is the first movie for this podcast that I watch beginning to end on my phone. You know, I'm probably going to get half an hour now and half an hour later. I'm just going to, you know. And as a result, I have very few notes. But if I had been, you know, dutifully reflecting from beginning to end, I don't know if I would have more. It's just a kind of bad movie.
Yeah, I was sitting through it. I know I had seen it once, 1.5 times before. And I just remembered not being that great. And I can't pinpoint exactly what it is. It's just like something doesn't curl all the way over.
Yes. I think the fundamental problem with this movie is that it is two different movies mushed into one.
Mm.
And they don't mix.
Right.
So, like, the Hancock is bad at superheroing movie and the Old Guard.
Right.
Also starring Charlize Theron. I like The Old Guard, and I feel like I would like a well-executed, here's a bad superhero movie.
Yeah.
But I don't like this.
Yeah, it was very much the Old Guard portion of this film was just like, oh, by the way. Like, it was like, no, guys, we should probably elaborate a little bit more.
Right?
That's an interesting story. Can we do that?
It's weird that a movie that is two clear plots, like, barely stumbles to feature length. You know, right. The credits roll Hancock at about 86 minutes.
Right.
Which is good. That is one of the only things I like about this movie.
Now, one of my
it knows when to leave.
Well, one of my options to watch it was the unrated version, which was only 10 minutes longer. I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
No, but it's for a movie to be that short and to have a whole plot and then find it really feels like it feels like a screenwriting error. It feels like someone got to the and now he's redeemed and looked and was like, I'm only on page 50. What? I guess there's another superhero. Sure, why the hell not? Keep it going. If you haven't seen Hancock, that will make less sense. And now, to make it make marginally more sense, we will have a 60-second recap. And who more qualified than the only person, perhaps in the world, to record two podcasts about Hancock? It's Robin Hitchcock with your 6-second recap, and go.
Will Smith is Hancock, a superpowered dude who is bad at being a superhero. He needs to be shaken out of his typical drunken stupor to help, and when he does so, he has a tendency to break everything. Jason Bateman is a struggling public relations consultant who Hancock poorly saves from being smushed by a train. Now Bateman wants to help Hancock repair his public image and be a more effective superhero who tells local law enforcement, good job, while he gets in their way. Bateman's wife Mary is played by Charlize Theron. She spends the first hour of the movie making inscrutable faces at Hancock until it's belatedly revealed she is also superpowered and is the woman who abandoned Hancock in Miami after he lost his memory and engaged on his 80 years of questionable behavior. Mary and Hancock are in fact soulmates, and tragically their proximity to each other causes them to lose their invulnerability, so they both almost die with the perfunctory rat-faced villain and who gets both his hands cut off. And then Hancock goes to the moon and puts Bateman's stupid public relations logo up there and goes to New York. The end.
Yep.
Good job. 7 seconds. Way to fuck up the moon, Hancock.
Right?
Like, the ending button on this movie is like, wait a minute, why did...
And how did he do it?
Right.
How did he accomplish this? Because it's not like he used a laser to try to write chair on the moon, okay? He makes a red heart? Is it paint?
Is it
the blood of moon men?
It's unnecessary. That was a stupid plot line. That's Bateman's whole thing with the heart and trying to get people to give him all this money. Blah, blah, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so Camila, you might get upset. I don't like Jason Bateman.
I get it, though.
I have people like that, too, where I'm like, I love this actor. I totally understand it not working for you.
Right.
He's so smarmy, and his presence annoys me more so than endears me. And this movie knows. It's like they clearly know that he's playing a little bit against type because he's meant to be just this, like, mensch. So I think that that's what the whole heart subplot is about, is that they're like, we have to prove this is an actually good person.
So he's...
But I didn't buy that this made him an actually good person. I bought that this was, like, the one idea he had that he had convinced himself would lead to his personal success,
right,
and was presenting it to people in such a way that was like, here is a thing that will allow you to look good without you actually caring. That's
right.
What I am in the world.
So that's what I thought this was going to be going in. I'm not sure if that's how they depicted it in the trailer or what, but I really thought it was just going to be this, like, totally cynical superhero story where Jason Bateman was the PR guy because superheroes who break everything would need a PR guy, and he'd be, like, slick and Jason Bateman-y. But they really want you to think he is a good person.
All right, yeah, I don't buy it at all.
Like,
and that's just
he's meant to be a good husband and father. And
again, like, I see nothing, there's no evidence of any of that in this film whatsoever, that he's a good father. I mean, not saying that it looks like he's a bad father and husband, but it just, there's nothing that's just like, oh, he really cares. And like Sean was saying, like, his whole idea that, yeah, it didn't come off as like, I give a shit, like, I care about helping people who need help. It's like, this is my thing, this is what's gonna make me famous. Like, that's kind of what it felt like. And
okay.
And I do.
Which makes the moon thing even stupider.
Right. Like, it's like, what's the point? Like, it's just, And, you know, and I feel like I like Jason Bateman a lot. And, you know, he is a smarm bucket at times. And I guess that's why I like him. I don't know. I don't understand. It's something I need to work through with my therapist. But it's. But he's, the thing is that he's always the same character. Like, he's always Jason Bateman in everything that he's in for the most part. And it's just where he is. I don't really expect a lot from him when he shows up. It's just like, I know you do this thing. Although on the Ozark, he's very good. But, you know, it's like, I know you do this thing and this is what they hired you for. And so, yeah, let's do it.
I mean, I think it's the movie working backwards, but I like Hancock more than I like Jason Bateman's character, which, like, you know, the whole point of this is supposed to be, isn't Hancock an asshole? By the way, laziest way to develop a character in the history of time is making them hate one word. But, you know, as much as Hancock is supposed to be this, like, despicable misanthrope, when he's like, go up to your bully and kick him in the piss pump, I'm like, he said piss pump. And yeah, beat that kid up.
That'll do it.
That bully was the young Michael Myers from Rob Zombie's Halloween.
That's one of my four notes that I had for this movie.
I had to look it up because I was like, I've seen you, but how is that possible? Look at you. You look like nothing. Like, you look like the other child in the world. Oh, you're tiny Michael Myers. Now it makes... Yeah, let me give you facts. If we're not careful, we're going to run out of things to say about Hancock before I even get to the factsy segment.
That's
so
okay.
Let's do...
We have an extra segment today, right. So it's fine.
But for all the Hancock stands...
Both of you.
Yeah.
I mean, their names are Bob Shields and Regina Connolly. Like, I did a podcast episode about this where they both were like, I like this movie. And I was like, who? What?
Don't worry. There are so few facts that their enjoyment of the film is covered in the factsy segment. So, Hancock is released July 2nd, 2008, the 24th number one movie of that year. That was a Wednesday, getting a jump on the July 4th weekend. July 4th was a Friday. It won that weekend with $62.6 million. There were no other new releases. Runner-up was the second weekend of WALL-E, which had 32.5. Fell to second the following weekend behind our recent veto, Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, which won by a final score 34.5 to 32. So close, but Hellboy 2 did easily win in the end. Hancock did finish in second, holding off a pair of fellow debuts that second weekend. Journey to the Center of the Earth was in third, and Meet Dave was in seventh.
Wow.
Part of Eddie Murphy's time in the wilderness.
Mm.
Hancock spelled it really. He had a rough back half of the career. Maybe he's back? Who can tell anymore? He's so pissed he didn't get nominated for Dolomite. And it's like, it was good, but it wasn't.
I feel like he should have been nominated. Like, sorry, Jonathan Pryce, but come on. But yeah.
I mean, nominate him over Jonathan Pryce. Like, sure, no one would have been complaining if he were nominated. But it's not like, we're not talking about Casablanca here. Like, that was a better than average biopic, and you were good in it. Like, you know, that's...
I liked it a lot, and I do think it was a snub. But, like, in the grand scheme of snubs, it's no J-Lo.
Right. Hancock spent 6 weeks in the top 10, $227.9 million. This was a big hit. It's the fourth overall movie, box office-wise, for 2008.
Wow.
Behind only The Dark Knight, Iron Man, and Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Hancock made more money than WALL-E, Kung Fu Panda, and the first Twilight. That doesn't seem possible.
Will Smith. He's as much as he's that star, but he's got box office gold.
Yeah. The film was in development hell for about 12 years. The first spec script that led to Hancock was written in 1996, briefly attached to direct Tony Scott and then Michael Mann. And yes, the finished version was co-written by Breaking Bad showrunner Vince Gilligan. That was his name in the credits.
Yeah. I do desperately want Michael Mann's Hancock. Just this, you know, in-depth look at masculinity, please.
The original version was given an R rating by the MPAA twice before Peter Berg edited it down to get a PG-13 rating. This was partially related to a subplot, which apparently survives into the director's cut, the long version, where Hancock can't safely have sex with human women because the force of his explosion would kill them.
Isn't that what people tried to say what's happened with Superman and Lois Lane?
As I believe I said in the Theronathon episode about this, I feel like I've been hearing comic book nerds talk about Superman's cum. for way too long.
Yeah.
And so in a way, I'm glad that someone finally put it in a movie, and I'm annoyed that the MPAA took it out. This should have been an R-rated movie. That makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Deadpool, for finally allowing for a world where this could happen the way it should.
Right. There were plans for a sequel, but nothing has happened in that front since 2012. It's probably dead. Other people considered for the role of Hancock: George Clooney, Ben Affleck, Leonardo DiCaprio, and the one that might have worked, Dave Chappelle. I can see that.
I think Dave Chappelle would have worked better. I feel like Will Smith is a little bit miscast here.
Yes.
As I also discussed in Theronathon, you can hear me expand on that. Like, he's just honestly too likable.
I don't know. I think I have a problem with Will Smith, like, at some point. Like,
interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why exactly. Like, I think because, I don't know, there's like some
he's
movies.
He's a Scientologist, that's why.
Oh, is he?
I think so.
He's an alleged, he says he's not, but he's one of those people that's like, no, I'm not, but I understand what they're going for. Now, that means you are.
Yeah, exactly.
No one is a Scientologist.
Right.
Is like, I'm cool with Scientology. Right.
No, it's like either you are or you aren't. I think I'm just, I don't find him very genuine. I think there's something about him that's not, it's not like I don't like him or that I don't enjoy his performances in some things. I think it's just like, I just don't, you're right, he was definitely miscast as this. Like, he pulls it off-ish, but there's, he spends a lot of time in this movie like trying to be a badass. Like, I don't know, it's just, there's something, like, I know he's a superhero, blah blah blah, he's just a drunken superhero who hates superheroing, whatever, and that's kind of his thing, but it's also like, I feel like you're really putting on this air, like, this feels like you're acting. Like, I need you to
I know
back.
Exactly what you mean, and it comes in how he's always scowling.
Yeah, like that,
at all times,
that pursed lip thing, and I'm like,
yes,
stop it. And I think Dave Chappelle would have been more enjoyable.
There are lines in this movie that here were funny-ish that if Dave Chappelle had said them, people would have been quoting for years.
Right.
You're right.
Like, when the lady yells, "I can smell the liquor on your breath," and he says, "Yeah, because I've been drinking."
Right.
Like, that,
right.
That worked. That line worked for me. But if that were a Dave Chappelle line, it would be, people would say it like they say, "I'm Rick James, bitch."
You know? Yes.
I mean, I think the thing is, this is why his career died 13 years ago and no one noticed. This is the end of Will Smith as a major star, and
right,
no one acknowledges that. I mean, 2006, 7, 8 is Pursuit of Happiness, I Am Legend, and Hancock. And they're all hits. All three are a mixed bag in one way or another, but they all worked. After that, 7 Pounds, Men in Black 3, After Earth, Focus,
Holy shit,
Concussion, Suicide
oh my
Squad,
God,
Collateral Beauty, Bright.
I'm like just now realizing that Will Smith has not been a real movie star in over a decade.
Right, yeah, me too. And I thought it was just me personally just being like, I'm done. But no, he's hasn't been giving me anything to work with. So
that he's just such a big star in my mind that he doesn't even need to keep doing work.
Right. Yeah, I feel like you
could be like Elizabeth Taylor in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you're just an icon.
Right. Like, dude, you're done. It's cool. You've given us some things.
Perfume ads, Will Smith.
Right. You've given us a lot of things for you to be proud of. We don't have to keep going through this.
You know, there's a chance that he'll, you know, come back as a star focused on popular movies. 2019 was Aladdin. Aladdin, you know, as much as it was unnecessary, was a gigantic hit. Spies in Disguise, his voice role there was fine. I did like that. And let us not forget, he was in the number one movie of 2020, Bad Boys for Life. So
which I did watch, and it's actually, it's as good as Bad Boys 2, which is to say, fine.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, if you enjoyed that one, you'll like this one.
Right.
So if he decides, like, I'm going to be a movie star again, and does Aladdin and Bad Boys for Life type roles, he could be Will Smith again. It's that he wants, and even in the middle of that, he did Gemini Man, which was pushed as, this is going to be big, and nobody went to see.
I did, and it was great.
Oh?
Is it good?
Listen, again, it's like, it's not a good movie, but it is a fun movie, and also the whole high frame rate nonsense was just entertaining to me. Obviously you can't recreate that at home, but like, it is very cool to spend the whole movie being like, why does it look like these people are in the same room as me?
Wow.
Man, I just want that to be able to happen with old movies. I want them to figure out how to high frame rate a Blu-ray of Carrie in my house. I don't know why I went to Carrie.
That's terrifying.
Okay, maybe not Carrie. Maybe. No.
And also, the visual effects in Gemini Man are genuinely stunning. Like, there's a fake Will Smith who is believable.
Well, then that fits with this theory. If he is going to no longer do Winter's Tale and Focus and 7 Pounds and Collateral Beauty, if he is going to stop with, like, prestige movies that miss and do popular entertainment, he could be Will Smith again anytime he wants.
I feel like the next move for Will Smith is, like, he is too old, right? Like, the whole point of Gemini Man to make it an action movie was that they made a CGI young Will Smith. Mm. He's too old to be an action star. He should not make bad prestige movies anymore, but, like, he should be a little bit more discerning with his scripts and probably focus on supporting roles in prestige movies. That's what I think he should do. But I also only realized around 5 minutes ago that his career has been in crisis for 10 years.
It's because he's not a bad actor by any means, but he's not a great actor. This is the same thing with Jim Carrey, his partner in Please Give Me an Oscar, All I Want Out is an Oscar. They are both good actors, but were never great actors.
Right.
You know, closest with Ali, just
he
because
was close with Ali. Like, the narrative changed late to Denzel.
But he was close because that role suits him. When he tries to do 7 Pounds or Pursuit of Happ... Well, Pursuit
I
of
also thought he... I think that that's a deserved nomination.
For Ali?
No, obviously, I think him getting nominated for Ali makes sense. Him winning for Ali would have made sense, even though, like, that's towards the end of my list of Michael Mann movies that I like. No, Pursuit of Happiness... Bad movie, great Will Smith performance.
Yeah, you would never mistake Will Smith for, oh, he's one of the great actors.
Like, Yeah.
Did I have anything else? Oh, just to tie back to the Theronathon. This is our first podcast, also covered on one of the Robin Hitchcock, Regina Connolly, Bob Shields full watch runs, that being the hibernating Theronathon, hibernating until there's another Charlize movie. I re-listened to the episode, and while Robin was not then much of a fan, as of that recording, Regina and Bob put this in their top 10 Charlize movies.
Yeah.
One, did that hold up till the end of the Theronathon? And two, what? Huh? What?
I would imagine that they got bumped towards the end because it was both, like, just barely within their top 10. But, like, ultimately their reaction was, this is fun. And also our guest on that episode, Regina's brother, Joe, they're all like, this is fun. I enjoy this. And I also re-listened to that episode. I had forgotten that Addie Twigg was like, I'll do Hancock. When we asked her what she wanted to guest on, she wasn't able to guest on that. But it's like, people do like this movie, even though I agree with your open for this episode that, like, it has been erased from the cultural memory.
Is it fun, though? Like, the first 10 minutes are fun. And in a kind of a Deadpool way, the visual of shoving the guy's head up the other guy's ass is fun. After
don't
that,
like I'm, it. Don't want to think about it.
What I got was mostly my own just personal chuckles from Jason Bateman being Jason Bateman. And there were a couple things at first with Will Smith just being this bad superhero. That was funny, a little bit funny at first. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, he called that kid an asshole, or that kid called him an asshole or whatever. And oh, blah, blah, blah. But then it kind of wore down a little bit. Like, it's, I don't know, there was something that's not there. I did ask myself in the middle of the movie, I'm like, am I having fun? And, then, and the answer is no.
Am I?
Am I having fun? No. No, we're not. This is work.
I also want to say one of the things we discussed in that episode was whether or not you need to watch this in a good mood. And I said in that episode that I was decidedly in a bad mood. And then yesterday, Sean asked me, he's like, hey, did you watch it on Saturday morning? Because Regina's theory is that every movie you watch on Saturday morning gets 10 bonus points.
Interesting.
I did not. But I said, you know what, though? I am in a good mood. Colin just got his second vaccine shot. I had a good meeting this morning. I'm like, I'm in a great mood. Remember how last week I was like, I've actually held on to the DVD of this for 2 years.
Right, right.
You know what I could not find in my house? That DVD.
Are you serious? I was good.
And so I had to spend $4 to rent this, and that put me into a bad mood. And I was like, I can't watch this in a bad mood. So then I was like, you know what we have in our fridge? A bottle of champagne.
So you drank champagne and watched Hancock?
So I drank champagne and watched Hancock. I was like, Colin got his vaccine shot. That's worth celebrating. Time to drink some champagne and watch Hancock. And I think it did recover my mood. I still don't like this movie.
Yeah. Like, it was, speaking of, like, spending unnecessary money on it, like, the other night, as I was getting ready to go to bed, I saw that Hancock was on Sci-Fi Channel, like as I was getting ready to go to bed, but it was already like an hour in. I'm like, what? And checked to see the next time that it was playing, and it's not playing again until Thursday, so I had to spend the $4 to rent it.
Let this be a lesson for those of us, the limiting number of us that still have a cable box. Search the listings. They make it easy.
Yeah.
Let's not go on too much longer since we have the fun of a movie draft. The only other thing I really wanted to bring up was I appreciate when movies do not explain their entire mythology and backstory to death, but please explain something. We get facts like we're ancient. Why? We die with each other. Why? We get better when we move away. Why?
So we're that they can grow old and die. It's...
I'm not clear on their whole immortality thing. I don't.
This is even more frustrating now that the old guard exists. Right. I guess it existed at the time as a comic book, but just like that movie executes this so much more effectively and also has Charlize. I knew that Charlize was a superhero the first time I saw this, which I think does limit my enjoyment of it somewhat, because the way that Charlize messes with her face during that first hour, all the weird looks that she gives Will Smith are fucking hilarious. Yeah. And I wish I could guess as to what I would have thought was going on with her. Like, if you don't know that this is a person from her history, like, I guess you would probably assume it is, but he's so clearly, it wouldn't make any sense. So
I think I assume just going in that she, because of his bad reputation, that she just didn't want him anywhere in proximity to her family. And
which that's
kind of, that's kind of what I was thinking. But it was a little pointed as well, you know, like because, you know, having seen as many movies as I have, just being me and just being this type of movie buff, you know, you start to know like the amount, how the beat that the camera lingers onto somebody's face is like, oh, this is going to be important later. So it's obvious, like it was clear that it's going to be something more than that. But it was also just like, well, maybe she just thinks he's funky and she doesn't want him.
Yeah. Whenever I predict something is going to happen in movies or TV, Colin always goes, you've seen movies.
Really? You know how filmmakers signify what's important and what isn't in a film? Yeah. Anything else before we rate it and go back to forgetting it?
One of my four notes was Charlize is so fucking hot.
Yes, so that's another one of my notes. Good Lord.
Like, damn. Like, when she does reveal herself, her superpowers, it's like a whole shift. It's like, okay, I see you. I love those sunglasses. Like, thank you. Like, get it. Get it, Charlize. Get it.
What did she buy that out? Bit for. She's been in hiding decades, and yet she has her like, well, I'm the bad superhero again here, ready to go.
I'm pretty sure that she was like, all right, it's time, went to the store.
Right, exactly.
Went to the store, stopped at Sephora, got some eye makeup.
Blew her hair out and was like, yes.
All right,
if we're gonna do this, I'm gonna do this in style, damn it. Yep. Like,
totally explain the nature of her powers. Maybe one of her powers is like a glamour, like a witch, and she could just be like, poof, I'm gorgeous. Or, you know, she's always
more
gorgeous.
Like,
Charlize Theron. Yes.
I'm the dark gorgeous or whatever.
Well, let's see how much that smoky eye can elevate the score. This is I don't hate it, and that's it. So 30. I give it a 30.
Wow.
That's actually less than my score, which is stunning to me. But I'm going to say it's probably because I get enough points out of Goodwill for Charlize. I'm going to go 36.
Wow.
Camila?
I give it 56 just because I refuse to give Charlize and Jason Bateman lower than 50.
Wow. I feel, as a Charlize super fan, I feel appropriately shamed. And yet... I've also seen literally every movie she's ever been in, and so I know where this falls.
Right.
She's definitely been in worse movies than this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
She sure has.
And I would give those less than a 30. But,
yeah, me too.
40 and two-thirds is the final score. That is our worst movie in a while.
Ooh.
I'm flipping back. It's... It's a ways ago. Like, that's lower than Police Academy. That's lower than Solo. That's our least favorite movie since Chronicle, appropriately enough. Superheroes gone bad. 40 2/3 for the more successful than it had any right to be. Handbook. We've got a new bingo card. Let's see if this also results in an immediate bingo.
And before we get into it, I would like to thank, we asked, because we went through the other one so quickly, I didn't have time to like really mull over any new bingo squares. So we asked our friends, our listeners out in the Twitterverse, and some of them came up with some good stuff. So I'd like to thank Addie Twig, Mike Rhodes, Dustin Lee, and Gregly Premonition for their suggestions. Some of them have made it onto this bingo card.
I've got two. Certainly unnecessary property damage. Yes. That's practically the whole plot of the movie.
Right.
And Beach for when he throws ale. Yeah.
Few moments that made me genuinely smile.
When he's like, right. I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
Anything other than those two?
I think isn't he drawing in his cell?
I think those were on his cell.
Gotcha.
That was also my thought. More so, it was like cave paintings.
So he wasn't drawing. Okay.
I've done a story on what the decommissioned 150-year-old prison in West Virginia. I forget. I'm blanking on the name of it now. That is true. Cells and more of the prison walls are covered in drawings, and eagles and hawks are everywhere.
Huh.
It's something about the like freedom metaphor that people that a lot of prisoners traditionally will draw pictures of eagles. And to respond to a point on Theronathon, why the hell does he have an eagle on his superhero suit? I think that's why.
That makes sense to me.
Why? Because of the drawings?
The symbol of freedom.
The symbol of freedom when he was in prison for those.
He does have an eagle on his hat at the beginning, though, so it clearly meant something to him.
Because like Jason Bateman designed his uniform. Or whomever did, like, he brought that uniform to him. He didn't pick that out.
Let's not connect dots.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's just Will Smith being from Philly, being like, hey.
So, not enough for a bingo for anyone. We will go at least 1 week without a bingo, but two squares nonetheless. Pick off property damage and the beach if you're playing along at home. And thanks, as Camila said, to the contributors to this. Speaking of ways to play along at home, if you were listening last week, both Camila and I got an instant bingo. That makes it a two-way bingo, which we have established means we draft movies and then open it up for a Twitter poll. So you are going to pick our next movie. I forget exactly how this goes.
Two movies from now.
Yes.
From the movies we draft today. Robin, I feel like you could more efficiently explain what's about to happen.
Okay, sure. So what's going to happen is that Camila and Sean have both selected 4 movies each. Camila will present one of hers, and Sean will have the option to let it go into consideration or veto it. And then Sean will do one of his movies, and Camila will have that option. And they will go forward through their list of 4. Each one of them is only entitled to 2 vetoes, and they won't know the whole list when they have to make those decisions. If by the end of that combine there are more than 4 movies left, me, Robin Hitchcock, get to pick the final 4 that will go to consideration in the listener poll on Twitter.
Nice. Well done.
So this is how we pick the 4 movies you will choose from. The last time we did this, it led to Sneakers over A League of Their Own, Dead Ringers, and something of mine that nobody picked. I forget. Sneakers.
Forces of Nature.
That's right.
This is how we watch Sneakers. What will it be this time? I've done this once before, so I will let Camila offer the first selection.
All right. First and foremost, I just want to say that I forgot for a hot second you had a dog. I saw that blanket moving behind you, and I thought you had a ghost. So, we are going
I'm glad you expressed that instead of leaving it inside of you during this whole segment, trying to burst out of you.
Sometimes he's so still that sometimes he'll be laying next to me and I'll forget he's there, and then I'll just feel a small creature move and I'll be like, what the? Oh, right. Him.
All right. So my first I would like to present is Coming to America.
Oh.
I just figured because the new one, the sequel is coming out soon, it'd be interesting to revisit this guy.
I'm certainly not going to veto it because I'm going to watch it before the sequel comes out. So if that won, it would save me 2 hours. So not playing a veto there. My first pick, Captain America, the First Avenger.
Interesting.
As one of the two Marvel movies I've never seen.
I'll allow it.
Stays for now. It's that and Iron Man 2, I think, and I wasn't putting Iron Man 2 on the list. All right, no vetoes in play so far. Camila, your second pick.
The Fly.
Ooh.
We have
the Cronenberg spot remains.
Yes, we haven't touched on Goldblum very much, and it's been ages since I've seen this movie.
I like that movie way too much to veto it, and I just got a The Fly tiki mug in a loot crate. So
well, it's fate. It's fated.
Right, not gonna knock that one off the list. My second pick, let's try again, A League of Their Own.
I'm not gonna veto it.
All right. It came close. I thought it was going to run away with a win last time, and then we learned about the Legion of Sneakers fans.
Sneakerheads came
for it.
All right. We're through half of the list.
Wow.
We have not played it those left, so we can veto without fear now. We don't need to save them.
Right.
But maybe we just have good lists. I don't know. What is your third pick?
The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood.
That's interesting. I mean, I've never seen it, so I'm curious. Sure. Which one's the evil one?
Macaulay.
What do you think? Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Elijah's face is just too...
I know, it's too...
My third pick, Scream 2. Scream is not a number one movie in America. Are you just excited, or is that your fourth pick?
That's my fourth pick.
So wait, I think there's actually a bylaw, which I did not express, where if you both have the same movie on your list, that automatically wins.
We went back and forth on that because we don't want to rob, you know, interactivity.
Right, yeah.
Okay, but let's say that I automatically have to include it on the final list.
I will give two rules. You automatically have to include it on the final list,
okay.
And Scream 2 wins in the event of a tie.
Perfect.
Okay. That's funny.
I remember not putting Dead Ringers on my list because I was afraid that it was going to be on Sean's list, which I was right about.
I should have suspected that Scream 2. Because you know what? I almost put Saw 2. those are the same boat. The original Saw and the original Scream are not in.
Right.
And I know what a fan of the franchise Camila is. So I was, do I do Saw 2 to get one that I...
It's not good. Sure that, I almost put it in there, but it's just not good.
I'm very curious. I mean, I watch Scream regularly. I can't tell you the last time I watched Scream 2, but when I was young, I loved it.
Yeah.
So I'm curious as to how that holds up. Well, we've covered your fourth pick. My fourth pick is Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I just love it and always want to watch it.
Veto.
Okay, good. It wasn't going to make it on the list anyway.
Who does not like Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
I don't like it. I just have no interest in watching it.
Right. I don't want to. No, thank you.
It's so good.
Like, it's undeniably like good, but just like, eh.
It's like the middle of a Venn diagram between Jaws and Star Wars. It's great.
And that's why I don't want to watch it. Either
of them. I mean, it's basically an Earthbound sad spaceman movie. You realize this, yeah.
That's very true. Yeah. That's a good point. So the only veto is Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Scream 2 doubles up. So that leaves us with six. The six that are in play. Captain America, the First Avenger, A League of Their Own, Coming to America, The Fly, The Good Son, and Scream 2. Robin, eliminate one movie.
Okay, I feel bad about this, but I'm eliminating A League of Their Own, and I have two reasons.
It's twofold.
The first one is that I do think that it would run away with the poll, which I know Camila used as a thing for her. And secondly, when Sneakers beat it last time, I was like super relieved, as you may recall, because I was like, I won't have to tear open all of my emotional wounds in a podcast. I've been having a time of it recently. I'm hitting a pandemic wall. I'm not watching A League of Their Own and crying for 3 hours.
Fair enough.
Yeah, can't criticize that. I should just watch baseball movies if I want to watch them. I've done this twice, and I've used A League of Their Own twice and The Natural once. It's like, I can just watch a baseball all movie if I feel like.
You don't need a quote-unquote reason, an assignment. Right.
And then all right. Captain America is staying on the list because I watched that movie with Colin on our honeymoon. Captain America is my favorite of the MCU characters, and I just like it. So that's staying on the list. So Coming to America is staying on the list for obvious reasons. They're like the whole convenient timing piece of it. Also, it's just great. We were just talking about how Eddie Murphy deserves more. So that's staying on the list. So that leaves me down to, am I going to eliminate The Fly or The Good Son? And I'm literally deciding as I talk. I am stalling for time because here's the thing. I've never seen The Good Son, and I'm always kind of excited to watch something I've never seen. I've seen parts of it. It would be like on in my presence, and I would be like, this is too scary and upsetting for me. So it's too upsetting and scary for me, but I like to expand my horizons. On the other hand, The Fly is so good. I'm going to eliminate The Good Son.
All right. I've
talked myself out of it. Really good lists, both of you. Excellent choices.
Thank you.
Like the fact that I'm eliminating A League of Their Own is saying something.
Right. If The Fly wins, I'll figure out a tiki drink to make in that. Nice. It's really great. It's shaped like the pod with him coming out of it. Yeah, it's great. I have more to say about mystery boxes, but we're running out of time. So your choices: Captain America, The First Avenger, Coming to America, The Fly, and Scream 2. And I don't know which one of those is going to win. I feel like any one of those four could win.
I know.
Yeah. Wide open.
I feel like The Fly might have a good chance.
I feel like the way our audience skews, I feel like the smart money is on Coming to America, but we'll find out. Yeah. Don't let me tell you what you're going to vote for. You tell me and us, and then we'll do that movie. So the poll will go live on Monday as this episode drops. You can vote through Thursday, and then we'll record an episode on your choice.
I also wanted to quickly acknowledge that this episode is going to drop on Monday, March 1st, and the Hancock episode of Theronathon dropped on March 1st, 2018.
Stop it.
Hey.
That's insane.
Right?
It's a double feature.
Finally, something interesting about Hancock. No, the actual Tony Goldwyn is that this is two consecutive movies that prominently involve the word asshole.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And for me, it was two consecutive days where I saw a movie where a guy gets both limbs chopped off, because the day before I watched Anchorman, where Luke Wilson loses both arms.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of Anchorman, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. I don't need to discuss Anchorman. I feel like that jury has been out long enough. Yeah. But I watched Anchorman because it was at the drive-in. I hadn't watched it probably since I saw it in the theater. It's fine. It holds up. It's a funny movie. Going to still say it is not as good as Talladega Nights. That is the hill I will die on forever.
No.
Camila, no strong feelings.
That's hard pass. That's Anchorman.
I forgot this completely. Maybe everyone in the world, because they watched their Anchorman DVD 80 times, knows this. For me, the best bit in that movie is that there's a blooper reel with about 8 little bloopers in it, and the 6th one is just from Smokey and the Bandit 2, with no explanation. They show 3 minutes of Anchorman bloopers, a scene of Burt Reynolds getting his lines wrong, and then back to Anchorman. Now that's a joke. That's a joke. I don't know what my actual... I guess I just watched the Billie Eilish documentary. It's way too long.
Apple,
right? Why?
Apple TV Plus is rolling out a big... It is their, you know, oh, Netflix has Taylor Swift and Lady Gaga documentaries. We need one of them. So they were the ones to do one of those for Billie Eilish. It's interesting in that I can't think of another time when a movie was about someone succeeding and triumphing at everything, and that the whole time I'm thinking, oh, she's screwed. She is so screwed. She's already got like the army of family members and label people, and she's already got that whole ecosystem around her trying to like get her to make them more money, and she's 17 and clearly has a number of mental and physical challenges. Oh. Like, you know, I like her album a lot. I'm a fan. But, you know, it feels like if you were watching the Amy Winehouse documentary with Amy Winehouse still alive, you know, it's like...
That's a shame. I really hate seeing success stories like that where they're so young and she's got nothing but a bunch of friendly users around her. You know, no one's really got her best interest as a person. at heart. They're just really more focused on money, 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 success, money, money, success. And I don't know a lot. I don't know much of anything other than this child's name about her. So,
which I barely know.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know anything about her physical disabilities or mental instabilities and stuff.
She clearly and admittedly has some issues with depression and probably anxiety as well. Mm. And you know, that's one of those things there where that's what her songs are about. Like, that's not a big secret, but it's not an act. It's clear. She has a weird form of Tourette's, which affects her physically. And she badly fucked up her hip as a dancer early in her teen years. And so a lot of this movie is like, she can't, you know, she sprains her ankle at the beginning of a show, and now she has shin splints and she's having trouble getting around. And and this is a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think she's great. I love that album. I hope that this is not one of those times, but it's like, well, these are all of the ingredients for Britney Spears. Right. You know?
Is her hair a wig?
No.
Like, is it not covered, or do they show her getting the top part of her hair bleached?
It is not explicitly covered, but it looks, you know, I mean, okay. she's always got that.
Yeah, and I think there was a whole thing where sure, like, she dyed it back regular.
Oh, did she?
And her fans were like, you shouldn't, like, her fans are giving her shit about it. I don't know. Like, it was, I just kind of catch, like, tail ends of these things.
Yeah. She very much feels like somebody who exists in a pop culture bubble that I have aged out of.
Right, yeah.
Like, I do like her music when I hear it. But I remember she appeared in one of those, like, early in the pandemic, like, we're all in this together TV specials, and her hair looked perfect. And that was when, like, even celebrities were isolated from their handlers. And I was like, I feel like that means that's a wig. Which Maybe. Is fine. It is fine to wear wigs. I need to know.
But the laugh out loud moment is that somebody introduces her to Katy Perry at Coachella. And then Katie brings Orlando Bloom over. You know, there's nothing awkward about it, but it takes them going back to the bus and saying, you know, that was the guy from the Pirate of the Caribbean movies. And she's like, wait, that was that? I thought that was just somebody Katy Perry knew. What?
Also, I'm sorry, I might have to cut this for time, but I need to quickly say that something that I did not talk about when we did the episode about The Town, and we talked about Blake Lively's alleged youngness, is that there was a story when that movie was happening that when Ben Affleck met her and, like, drove her around Boston to, like, get her into the role in the world and stuff, he was like, and that was Matt's house. And she was like, what do you mean? And he's like, that's Matt Damon's house. And she said, you know Matt Damon?
Oh, God.
Youth. The naivete of youth, but not, like, knowing who Orlando Bloom is.
I never bought that. She's in a Hollywood family. She was 10 years old when Good Will Hunting came out, allegedly. She was 14. But, like, come on. Come on, Blake Lively.
Yeah. And Dogma. Who doesn't revisit Dogma all the time? I would briefly endorse Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep. I gave that I had never seen it. I picked that on HBO Max because I've been curious about it. Not only is that a classic movie, I hope that's how the afterlife goes. It's like a very orderly, defensible system. I thoroughly enjoyed that. That's on HBO Max now. Anybody else? Other things you watched.
I don't recall too much of anything. I don't have my phone in front of me to look at my letterbox. But I know I watched the Cecil Hotel thing, Vanish.
Oh, how was it?
It was good. It was creepy, but I think it could have been a little bit better. I think there's only like 4, maybe 5 episodes. You know, they solve the mystery the mystery is no longer a mystery of, like, how this girl where this girl went. They know she's dead, and, like, they found her and all that stuff. But there's still the big question of what happened to her. But they kind of put it together, like what could have happened. But I think it was a little more hyped up than it needed to be. Like, I was expecting a little bit more, I don't know, like, spooky, maybe some supernatural touches here or there. Or but then, because I fully believe that could actually happen. Like, they talk about how many, this is the place where serial killers go to let their hair down. Mm-hmm. And this is where the dude, I forget what his moniker was, but one of the serial killers in LA, like in the 70s or the 80s or whatever, he would go back there, just, like, walk in and up to his room through the lobby, just in nothing but his underwear covered in blood, and nobody says boo about it. Like, I believe there are evil spirits in this fucking hotel. So you can't tell me that's not a thing. You know, it's, if you're into, like, true crime drama type stuff, then it's totally worth a viewing.
Robin?
I watched a lot this week because I was catching up from the week I watched nothing, and because the Golden Globes are coming up and I want to have seen at least some of these movies. So a lot of them have been talked about on the show, so I'll go really fast. Judas and the Black Messiah, great, obviously. Sound of Metal, really great. Reminded me of Leave No Trace as a just humans are fundamentally good movie. See also Nomadland, which I also watched. And I think that humans are fundamentally good movies are incredibly useful to me, especially in these dark times.
Right.
So I liked both of those very much, but wouldn't go so far as to say I loved them. Maybe that's because I'm depressed. I feel like I'm going to get a lot of Robin, are you okay messages after this. And I'm going to say, yes, I'm okay. And the movie that I feel like I have the most to say, oh, I watched Borat also. I watched the original Borat for the first time, and I watched Borat's subsequent movie film. Maria Bakalova is a star. Like,
yes, she's great.
That is amazing. I hope she gets an Oscar nomination. I don't like that kind of movie. I find it incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I found her, she made the whole experience worth it.
Now, did you watch both of them like in one sitting?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They're both like 80 minutes long.
But still, it's just a lot. Like, he's a SNL sketch at best.
Yeah, you're right. That is 3 hours of a sketch character.
Yeah.
But I do think also watching them back to back was easier for me because it's like something I don't want to do. It's like, well, I'm doing it. I'm already knee deep in the mud.
Right. Like you're going into, it's like going to work and then doing like your 8 hour shift and then being told you have to do a couple more hours. Like, well, I'm already here. Well,
yes, exactly. But then the movie I feel like I've been thinking about the most is I Care a Lot. Did either of you watch
that? Not yet. Is that any good?
No, that's kind of snuck under my normal what's coming out radar, and I'm kicking myself.
It also snuck under my radar. We were scrolling through Netflix, and Colin got excited because of Rosamund Pike.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, it's Gone Girl. And we turned it on, and it's like immediately compelling. And it's, you know, I think both of you should watch it, but I can't guarantee that you'll like it because, like, I don't know if it's good.
Well, I definitely put it in my queue because it's interesting to me when they're like, oh, you know, she's coming to basically take advantage of this older woman, Diane Weiss. Come on. And then
Diane Weiss for president.
And then they're like, oh, but she's got a secret. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. So I want to see it.
Peter Dinklage is great in it.
Oh, yeah, he was in it.
But it's like ultimately a movie about just completely irredeemable people, which I typically don't like. It's the opposite of Nomadland. So I don't know. And I think that part of the reason that I like it is that I want Roz Pike to step on my neck, as the kids say. So I want her to step on my neck, and then I want David Strathairn in Nomadland to come hug me and stroke my hair. That's what I want.
It does, briefly, why do you think Nomadland became the, you know, heavy, heavy, heavy Oscar frontrunner when I saw it? I like it. You know, I probably gave it a 9, but it was it is also one of those movies that I'm like, yep, really good. I don't really care. Like, I'm acknowledging that this is a really good movie without it really truly affecting me. And for it to be such kind of a quiet, you know, slice of life thing, I don't know how it became like, well, Nomadland could run away with Best Picture. Like, really?
I don't think that's going to happen, but this whole award season is a total fucking mystery, which is part of the reason I'm excited about the Golden Globes, because I'm genuinely like, who knows what will happen, more so than you normally are with the Golden Globes. But I think the obvious answer there is that it is a movie about loneliness, and we're all fucking lonely. Like, this is just, this is the best year for a movie like Nomadland to come out. You know, it's like when everything is taken from you, what is left? It is yourself and the basic goodness of other humans.
That's a good way to talk about Nomadland. And, you know, it's certainly the best movie I've ever seen where someone poops in a bucket. So
burn on Brooklyn. I keep thinking about it. I'm like, there are going to be 2 Oscar nominated performances that prominently feature loudly shitting into a bucket.
So that's not the ending note. I have to give a genuine endorsement. There's a website, mostly a blog, called Dinosaur Dracula. And it's a cool, kitschy, you know, old pop culture. Like, here's a bunch of commercials for Halloween candy from 1988, like one of those kind of blogs. And he does, it's not accurate to call it a mystery box because he posts what's going to be in it. I recommend not looking at those posts. But he sends out a monthly fun pack of little trinkets. And I bring it up specifically because I got on the list. I got the first one, and it turned out to be relevant to a recent subject of ours. The first fun pack I got was Batman Returns theme.
Oh.
And kind of the marquee item was an unopened Batman Returns Happy Meal toy from 1992.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So I have a mint Batmobile here.
He's holding it up to the camera, and it looks awesome.
Which he put in a little box with like a gummy burger and gummy root beers. It also had Batman Returns trading cards. There's like three things of old trading cards in every pack, but original unopened Batman Returns trading cards and a little stuffed penguin. It was great. And that's not all of the stuff. There's always like some kind of snack. There was a Whatchamacallit bar. Now I've eaten a Whatchamacallit bar.
Dude, that's like one of my favorite candy bars, Whatchamacallit. Those are delicious.
Well, and even the thing in the little write-up was like, hey, you remember the Whatchamacallit commercials, but have you ever actually eaten one? Lots of people haven't, and they are good.
It's Whatchamacallit. And for whatever reason, like the gas station near my house, like is where I go get them ever so often. They're not sitting with the rest of the candy bars. They're like,
they're too special.
They're like off of the corner somewhere, like on their own little shelf, their own little kiosk, like next to the ATM machine. And I don't understand why. But I was disheartened when I first was going there searching for one. I'm like, they don't have them. And then I went to the register and I looked to my right and there they were. Oh, hi. But they're delicious.
Just Google the phrase dinosaur Dracula. There's got to only be one. You'll have to get on a waiting list because the subscription list is full for this guy's, you know, home business. And it's $25 a month, shipping included. I've done a number of different mystery boxes, and after shipping, you're usually going to end up spending like $40 a month, if not more, for the big boys. So this is a deal too, full of little delights. It's annoyed. He sent annoyed the Domino's mascot from the late 80s.
Nice. So good.
Avoid the Noid.
You know, one guy sued Domino's because his name was Noid and sick of it. True Noid facts. Let's draw a movie. Before we get to the movie you select for us, we will first tango with The Princess and the Frog, Disney's Princess and the Frog.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. Haven't done a kids movie in a little while. It's certainly on Disney Plus. I have not seen that one. I know people really like the villain. I enjoy voodoo themed things, so sure.
I wish everyone could see Camila's face.
Save it for the pod.
This podcast. Are you saving it for next week?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am eager. I mean, you can veto it. You have a veto.
No, it's not. No, I don't want to waste a veto on it. It's not that.
Yeah.
That
and
serious.
I think it will be interesting to talk about.
Right. Yeah.
I look forward to learning more about The Princess and the Frog and issues around The Princess and the Frog.
And also the fact it's not very often we get a film that's readily available to me for free. So let me take advantage of it.
And you can watch with your daughter.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So before that, Hancock was released July 2nd, 2008. What was the number one song in America when Hancock stumble flew to the top of the box office?
Justin Timberlake?
No.
Lady Gaga?
No.
The aforementioned Katy Perry?
Yes. With?
California Girls?
Too early for that one.
I Kissed a Girl?
On Friday Night?
I Kissed a Girl?
I Kissed a Girl.
I Kissed a Girl.
Yeah, I guess that's, she came out and that was her
that
was debut.
Early
yeah?
on in the Katy Perry days.
That was like her debut, basically. Like to the most of the world, I would imagine.
Right, to the non-Christian music community.
Right.
So Mary Beth's are on a Warped tour before that. That's one of the like little wrinkles, like in between Christian and that song hitting. She was like, sure, Warped tour, why not?
She's like the living Robin whatever from How I Met Your Mother. Like
Robin
her.
Robin Sparkles.
Right, right.
I won't mention them by name, but I had a friend in college who was gay and wasn't like, you know, it was a while ago. Like, you know, lots of people did not trumpet their sexuality in the way that people are more comfortable doing today. So like lots of people did not know that she was gay, in spite of the fact that she just left her AIM away message as Cherry Chapstick for like years. It's like, this is to let the people who know.
Tango
know.
Fan.
Right.